Oh my goodness, when I hear that introduction, I feel like we need to have a studio audience and have applause and all that kind of good stuff, but we don't. What we do have, however, is you and I. And I'm grateful to be here every first Saturday of the month with Minority Health Matters. So I want to talk about, we're going to talk about something today that I think brings a lot of the issues we deal with on this show every month to the forefront and give some perspective, some understanding to why we do this very show. I did a little bit of research and emphasized a little bit of research over the past week. And what I found was that 64% of the doctors in the United States are white, 64%. 5.7% were considered Black or African American. Yet, the overall Black population in this country is around 13.5%. So right there, you see the discrepancy in the numbers. There are a lot more people than there are Black doctors. But why is that important? Well, we've certainly talked to members of Gateway Medical Society on this very program about how sometimes bridging those cultural divides can make a difference in the quality of the care that you receive. We've seen growing stories about African American women in particular not getting the type of maternal care that they need. So how do we get more young people interested in becoming doctors? And do they believe it's important? Well, joining me today are three individuals, all connected with Gateway Medical Society's Journey to Medicine program. They bring three different perspectives. Morris Turner III, Micah Saunders, and Michael Polite. Is it Polite, Michael? Do I have that right?
Yes,
Polite?
Yes.
All right, awesome. Welcome to all three of you. Glad to have you in on this conversation. And Morris, I'm going to start with you because I feel like we've been doing this show for a couple years now, but I feel like I still get the question from people, why is it important to have Black doctors?
So for me, I would think like why we need more Black doctors would be as a comfortable like way of minorities to be able to come in and see their doctor. Because a lot of minorities don't go to the doctors, and that's because they probably feel like they are uncomfortable with telling somebody that is not, they're not comfortable with somebody that's not their race to to talk about their problems or something going on with their body, something like that.
And Morris, you're kind of in a unique position because you come from a line of doctors. You come from a medical community in your background. So do you think that gives you a different perspective?
I feel because my parents, they've always sent me to the doctors since I was like real little. So I got really used to going to the doctors, and I'm not very mad about like I have to go to the doctors. I'm not mad.
Okay, fair enough. And Morris, just for the sake of our viewers who have not heard you on this show before, tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you doing? Where are you? Not physically, where are you? But you're a student, correct?
Yes, it's my senior year of high school. I'm running track. I play football a little bit, stuff like that. I want to go to Duquesne for college.
Do you see medicine in your future?
I'm going more down the business path.
Okay, great. Micah, let me ask you some of the same questions. Well, let me back up. Let me ask you this. Do you, as a young person, do you feel like it is important to have a doctor that looks like you?
Yes, I do.
Hey, you know I'm going to ask you why.
From prior experiences, I've gone to the doctors and I guess felt more comfortable. And knowing a Black doctor may be able to relate to me more as a white doctor because they may have had some of the same struggles as me growing up or, you know, some of the same problems.
Now, you're involved with the Journey to Medicine program. Was any of that a factor in why you thought this program could be beneficial or helpful?
Yes. When I first heard of the program, I thought it was pretty cool that, you know, there's some black men getting together to educate us young black students. And I thought I can maybe benefit from widening my career path or just getting interested in those topics.
Okay, now you're a student as well. Just familiarize our audience with where you are in your educational journey.
I'm currently a freshman in high school, and I am taking a higher math class, and currently I'm taking bio.
Okay.
And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Now, as a freshman, I would not expect you to really know exactly what you want to do, but do you see medicine anywhere in your future as a possibility?
As a possibility, yes, but my career focus as of now will probably be somewhere in the engineering.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And our third guest today is Michael Polite. Michael, welcome to the show. And I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Micah. As a young male, is it important to you that you have a doctor that looks like you? And why?
I think it's very important because I think black people have more access to, like, cultural, like, they connect to each other. Maybe they'll relate back to each other. A little more problems. Just in general, it's like good to have black people in the fields. Yeah, they're like, I have a black doctor and I'm like really good friends with him, and we meet outside of his field. So like we go out and talk a lot.
And I I'll follow up in a second.
We understand, like, life and challenges as well.
So then that's almost your doctor, in addition to attending to your medical needs, is also kind of serving as, like, a mentor? Is that a good way to describe that? Okay.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay. Now, you are a senior in
Yes, I am a senior.
Did I lose you?
Yeah, you lost me for a second.
Micah, did I lose you? Did you lose me? All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. And we'll go from there. You're listening to KDKA. Oh, I'm sorry. Micah, you're there?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yeah, okay, awesome. So tell us a little bit about you're in school, you're a senior. What's coming next for you?
So I will go to Autodice. I am in 12th grade. So I'm going to go to community college, CCAC. Then I might transfer to IEP. But I do have doctors as my second plan. But for my first plan, I'm going to go for coding and game development.
Oh, okay. All right. Awesome. And
if
it
doesn't work out, then I'm going to go with
that. Then you got a plan B.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure one of the things you learned in the Journey to Medicine program is we always need a plan B. We have so much to talk about this fine Saturday afternoon on Minority Health Matters. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland. You are listening to KDKA. More with our students coming up right after this. Welcome back to Minority Health Matters. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland. And as you, I am hopeful, are aware, this is a show that we do on the first Saturday of every month in cooperation with Gateway Medical Society and their Journey to Medicine program. And we look at a myriad of issues from health concerns within the minority community to filling the pipeline to see that we have more African Americans in that medical pipeline. My guests today are Morris Turner, the third, Micah Saunders, Michael Polite. And gentlemen, I want to ask you a question, and this is going to be kind of a tricky one, but I want you to take yourself personally out of the equation when you answer this question, because we talk about the fact that we need, or it would be helpful if we had more Black doctors. Yet one of the challenges is getting young people, young men in particular, interested in the medical field. And so, Morris, I'm going to start with you. Why do you think that is such a challenge? And again, I'm not looking for why Morris isn't interested in this, but in general, why do you think it's a challenge getting young Black men in particular interested in medical careers?
Okay, so I feel like not people. I feel like the young African Americans are focused on other things, and they with like attention spans and stuff, I feel that they don't want to go through like more years of schooling. And I feel like more years of schooling is the biggest thing about it. And you could do experiments, like put like situations, like a simulated events of stuff that doctors would do, and once they hear stuff about like more schooling, that's what kind of pushes them back.
Very interesting. Okay, and I never would have thought of that as a turnoff, but I could see where it could be. Michael, what about you? Why do you think it's so difficult or challenging to get young African-American males interested in medical careers? Because let's be honest, and I'm just going to put this out here. You know, a lot of times we pick our careers, rightly or wrongly, based on how much money we can make. And being a doctor can be a very financially satisfying job. Micah?
Yes, I'm here. Can you ask me that question one more time?
Sure. Why do you think it is so challenging to get young African-American males interested in medical careers? You're involved in the Journey to Medicine program, as are Morris and Michael. But all three of you, Michael kind of said it was his plan B, but all three of you have kind of said that it's not necessarily what you want to pursue. And I'm not asking you about Micah, the individual, but in general, why do you think it's challenging to get young African-American males interested in medical careers?
When I look at my peers, my fellow Black students, I see maybe not the motivation to follow a rigorous program after, you know, regular high school. And then I look at the field itself and see we're misrepresented in that. So maybe they won't want to, you know, be the only Black male or female in the, you know, hospital, or, you know, maybe they won't be treated as respected, you know, as a fellow white colleague because they're one of the only ones, and just because of our race and our background.
Okay. Interesting. Michael, I'm going to ask you that question, but then I'm going to ask you a follow-up as well when it comes to Black females, because there does seem to be a more representative number of Black females that choose to go into medicine. But for now, Michael, I'm going to ask the basic question. Why do you think it is challenging to get Black males interested in medical careers? You mentioned it was your plan B.
So it's really hard to like persuade a Black man or a Black guy to become something they are already passionate in. And it ties back up into the schooling and time and going into 4 years of college just to become a doctor. But sometimes in the end, it is like, it's really good to be a doctor, but it's just hard for like us youngins that we see something else, like basketball, and there's a lot of Black basketball players, but we don't get a lot of Black doctors. And it just all ties back into what we're passionate about.
what you're passionate about. So let me ask you a follow-up question, Michael, because I know when my son, who is long out of high school now, but I know when my son was in high school, he was always the only black male in the advanced classes and the AP classes. He was the only black male that excelled in math and science. And that was a big challenge to him because he didn't want to be viewed as nerdish because it wasn't cool. Does that mentality still exist?
No, not really. No. Maybe to some maybe to some other people, to them it may think that they are nerdish. But there's a lot of black smart kids that have straight A's in my school, and they don't think they're nerdy. They're cool. It's nothing personal. So
okay. All right. So no, that's a good thing. I mean, that's like absolutely some progress that we've made. And Morris, let me ask you this then, kind of the same question about the, what I implied about the African-American females. There doesn't seem to be as much pressure or as much resistance from black females to pursue medical careers. Any clue why that might be?
Okay, so I know some people that or black females that want to go into like nursing and stuff, and they see it as they tell me like I want to help people. That's like their main reason, and they're motivated. And I feel like because they are that motivated, that they're gonna go on and become nurses and stuff like that.
Interesting. Okay. So it's, and I'm going to throw this out to all three of you before we have to take a break. There's not a fear of the workload. So it might be a matter of the length of education, but it's not like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm cut out for this. And I'm going to throw that out for whoever is willing to respond. I'll call somebody out if I need to. Anybody want that? Okay, you know, I'm like a teacher. I'll call you out. Micah, what do you think about that?
I believe there's a little bit of both of the fear of workload and, you know, feeling not as motivated as our fellow females. And then to throw in a little bit of that, being the smart kid, you know, being bullied, you know, all of that. I think a mixture of that, you know, the underlying feelings may not, the girls in our classes may not feel that pressure, and, you know, it may be a little easier for them to really focus on their studies.
Okay. All right. We have a lot more to talk about. Today on Minority Health Matters, I am Lynn Hayes Freeland, and this is a show that we do in cooperation in conjunction with Gateway Medical Society. We're talking today about the need for more African Americans in the pipeline, more African Americans, males in particular, choosing to follow a medical career. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that 64% of the active doctors in the United States are white. I'm going to break that down just a little bit more. 20.6% were Asian, 6.9% Hispanic, and 5.7% were African American. Now, when you factor in things like disparity, last month we talked about African American men and prostate cancer. It disproportionately affects black men. We could talk about breast cancer. Black women disproportionately affects black women. I could go on and on about why we need more doctors to address some of these issues, but I'll stop it right there because coming up after the news, we're going to talk about some ways that we can all make a difference in our outcomes, whether we become doctors or not. You're listening to Minority Health Matters on KDKA.
It is 65 degrees in Pittsburgh International at 12:30. I'm Rob Taylor. Firefighters were called to a house fire in East Huntington Township, Westmoreland County. It happened this morning around 8:30 in the 200 block of Quarry Street. KDK-TV reports the fire began due to a wood-burning stove in the living room. No one was inside the home at the time of the fire. Pittsburgh is a big burger town, and so it's no surprise that smash burgers are hot right now. Thin patties with crispy edges are all the rage, and they're a smashing success at pop-up dining joints around the city. Pittsburgh Magazine's Rich Cook talked about it on the Big K Morning Show.
So how do you make a smash burger? Well, you start by flattening a meatball and leaving it on a hot surface until the thin edges are nice and crispy. You add your preferred toppings and condiments, throw it on a soft bun, and welcome to the new obsession and leave your tie at the door.
He says there are a number of different places in the city where you can get them, and patrons say they're pretty good. You can read more about it at PittsburghMagazine.com. 65 degrees and a mixture of sun and clouds in Pittsburgh. I'm Rob Taylor, and our next update at 1 on Pittsburgh's News, Weather, and Traffic Station, News Radio KDK.
Well, welcome back to what is, I hope, a regular part of your first Saturday of the month. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland. This is KDKA and our program, Minority Health Matters. We do this in cooperation with Black doctors in the Pittsburgh area. They are members of the Gateway Medical Society, and collectively, those doctors have joined together to support a program called Journey to Medicine to try and interest or increase the number of African-American males in medical careers. My guests today are three individuals, three students, Morris Turner III, Micah Saunders, Michael Polite. They've all been involved in the Journey to Medicine program, although they're not necessarily convinced at this moment in time that medicine is in their future. And so that's where I want to pick up the conversation, gentlemen. And Michael, I'm going to start with you, only because you did say that medicine might be your plan B. I believe gaming was kind of your first career choice. But there are a lot of other ways that we can support good health in our community without being doctors, yes?
Yes.
And what do you see those as being? Like, I know, for example, well, my daughter-in-law is probably not necessarily the best example because she's a PharmD, so she is a doctor per se, but she opted not to be a medical doctor, but she opted to be a pharmacist. So, you know, we still have shortages in pharmacy and nursing and physical therapy and all those other things. So how do we, what can we do? What can we all collectively do? Because the realities are we've got some health challenges in our community.
I feel like you can persuade, like maybe I might even do doctoring, maybe, but like it's kind of just hard to get a person to do something they just don't want to, but then again, they can do it if they want to do it.
All right, now let me ask you this. Do you feel like you have a healthy lifestyle that friends or other people who would see you feel like maybe they would emulate that if you had a healthy lifestyle?
Probably.
Okay. Michael, what about you? How do you think we can, as a community, do things, take steps to encourage our broader community to be healthier? I have a feeling Micah's muting. Are you muting your mic, your phone in between? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I was.
Okay. All right. No problem.
I feel like maybe we can hold like events, like Black doctors can hold like an event somewhere through the year to show like, you know, what it took for them to get there, or you know, just some avenues, you know, that they can provide for other Black students for like, you know, for them to really explore their career. Cause you know, it's not all, you know, just 6 years of schooling and, you know, just taking care of people. There are other interesting things that doctors do throughout the workplace.
Now, let me ask you the same question. Do you feel like you have a healthy lifestyle that other people would look at you, would look at Micah and say, I want to be like Micah?
I would say I have my moments in life that are more on the bright side, but, you know, I'm working toward having a more consistent, healthier lifestyle.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. And Morris, what about you?
Oh, yeah. So kind of like what Micah was saying, we have to find ways to motivate the younger people to want to pursue this, like, this career path, because mm-hmm. there's all these kids, they're gonna watch stuff that, like, excites them. So like basketball, they're gonna be, like, excited to, like, to watch basketball, see people do all these amazing things and stuff. If they can have, like, opportunities to see see doctors, like, in, like, how they operate, how they help people, and they'll be more, like, excited, and they'll want to watch more or want to see more of, like, what doctors do on, like, a daily basis or something.
All right, so let me start, and Morris, I'm going to stay with you, but I'd like Micah and Michael to weigh in on this too, because the realities are, we all know people who are pretty good playing basketball, pretty good at playing football, that have dreams of being in the NBA and the National Football League, but we all also know that the likelihood of that is pretty slim. But what is it about those careers? Is it the money? Is it the celebrity? Is it the talent? What is it about being a professional athlete that can be so attractive to so many young men in particular?
I think it's a mix of all of the popularity and, like, how much credit you'll get for all, and, like, awards and stuff you can get for being, like, a basketball player, that it, like, tells you, it, like, and also you're on TV. I guess that's another factor too. And I guess there's not as much recognition of being a doctor than there is being, like, a pro basketball player.
Okay. All right, Micah, let me get you to jump in on that.
I agree with what he just said. And then I feel like just our pure competitiveness between each other, I think, drives us to the point of, setting dreams and goals that, you know, you think you may be able to achieve, but, you know, you really have to put a lot of work in to get there.
Okay. All right. And Michael, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with both of them. It's just the fame and you becoming rich and having a lot of money. And I feel like it's, like, the easiest way, you know, to get to fame.
Okay. And then, full disclosure, is that something that all three of you have thought of about at one time?
Yeah, for sure. But sports is not my strong suit, though.
But now, is that a reality that you came to on your own, or did somebody else have to help you come to that reality?
So it's probably my own. I went out playing basketball, and how people were, like, talking about, you know, like, them becoming an NBA star one day or something like that along the lines. And I dropped it, and I was like, yeah, that's definitely not going to happen.
That's not you. And Micah, your thoughts? I mean, is that something that you thought about too? I mean, did you ever see yourself being a professional athlete? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For a little bit, but, you know, after playing with friends and them beating me, and I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not getting there. So I kind of just let it go.
And Morris, I'm gonna ask you the same thing, and then we'll take a break.
So I've been in Journey to Medicine for a long time, and it's something that they'll talk about a lot. It's a topic they'll talk about a lot, because people will come in as young students and say, they want to be a basketball player, and they'll tell them like the likelihood of that happening is like one in a million, and they kind of like it brought down to me, and I came to that conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You're listening to Minority Health Matters. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland. You're listening to KDKA. We'll take a break and come back with more. All right, gentlemen, I'm going to shake this up a little bit and broaden out our conversation just a hair, because we've been talking about the need for African-American representation in the medical field. We've been talking about how that affects our communities in particular. I want to talk specifically now about you guys, as in your generation, your age. We're seeing all kinds of news reports and news stories about how the mental health of our young people is in jeopardy, is in trouble, in part because of the pandemic, in part because of the rise in violence. So now let's look at this from a perspective of African-American therapists and psychologists and psychiatrists. Let me first ask you, and Morris, I'll start with you again. Is mental health an issue for Black males that we don't talk enough about?
I think so. I feel like not just for African Americans. I feel like it's for everyone, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of violence that happens along with like school shooters and stuff like that. Because recently, mm-hmm. like last Wednesday, there was someone called in and said that there was six people were shot around like the area where my school is at, and my school went in the lockdown, the school up the street went in the lockdown, Pitt went in the lockdown, and with all this like going on, it sets like fear in like the minds of us. So I guess I would say yes, very important.
Yeah, you know, and I had forgotten all about that big hoax from just this past week. Give me an idea. What went through your head and your heart at the time that was happening?
Okay, so for me, I feel like I did very well in keeping calm. There were some people mm-hmm. that were in the cafeteria with me that were like panicking, and I was trying to calm them down and stuff, and they was like panicking. They wanted to call their moms and stuff, and like my mom, she had called me a good like 3-4 times, and it was a lot like going though.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael, what about you? I mean, this, your school directly wasn't affected, correct? Oh, Micah.
No, ma'am.
Micah? Okay.
We were down the street, because I go to SciTech. Directly affected, but yeah, we were still close.
But you heard about it did you guys hear about it when it was happening or after the fact?
We actually heard about it when it was happening. We had went to lockdown two different times. It was one during class, and then they kind of, once they found out, it was like they got communicational what was happening. We kind of just released and went into like a different type of lockdown where we could still move mm-hmm. around inside our school. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Okay, so then going back to my initial question, how big of an issue do you think mental health is? I said specifically for Black males. Morris kind of broadened that and said for everybody. How big of an issue do you think that is? And would more Black therapists being available make a difference?
Mental health is very important for all of us, but to touch on the Black male subject and having a Black mentor, they can, again, kind of see like our cultural struggles and how we're treated and those, along those lines, and really touch, you know, some of the feelings that we may be having. And we may want to, instead of like dread going to them or, you know, like, I don't want to talk today, you know, we may open up a little bit more.
Okay, that's a good point. Michael, same question to you. Let me ask you this. So, again, your school was not directly affected by that midweek hoax, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm guessing that you guys heard about it as it was happening as well, correct?
Yes, I did.
And so what was that like for you? I mean, obviously it wasn't directly your school. I'm sure you know some kids that do go to those schools. What was going through your heart, your head when that was happening?
Well, I didn't even know that it was a lockdown until my mom texted me and said, "You guys on lockdown?" And I was like, I asked the principal, and he was like, "We're on modified lockdown." So it's like the same thing where you can walk around and just nobody's allowed outside the building or inside the building.
And so then when something like that happens, like I know when I worked in the news, we would have a running joke because we would have these stories, like, could it happen here? Is that something that you would immediately think, this could happen at my school? What would I do if it happened? I mean, how do you process that?
Yeah, it is like a really scary thing to think about, like, what if it actually does happen and what if it happens? I am a calm guy, but when something serious happens, I kind of panic a little bit, but I still kept my cool. Everybody was cool about it since we knew it was a hoax, but still, it was still like a scary thing. It's still
unnerving, yeah.
About like a shooting or anything about shooting at all. It's still kind of scary,
I'm sure. So. And then back to my original question, when I started this line of questioning, if you will, with Morris, how big of an issue do you think mental health is specifically for African-American males in your age group? And do you think that availability of more Black therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists could make a difference?
Oh, yeah. Therapists and psychiatrists will make a big difference and would actually help younger Black males, you know, get out of habits of, you know, them being around violence and doing other like bad things. Can you know, maybe they could change, you know, and fix the mental health, and you know, they could be persuaded to get a good job or maybe even become a doctor.
Maybe even become a doctor. So let me throw this out to all three of you as we're counting down on time here, because I know traditionally, historically, in the Black community in particular, when someone, an adult or a young person, was struggling with mental health issues, no one talked about it. There was a stigma attached to it, and no one talked about it. And so as a result, things went untreated. For your generation, are you more likely now to say to a friend or a mentor or a teacher or anybody, "Hey, I'm struggling with this. I need some help"? Or is there still that tendency to not bring it up?
There may be a tendency to bring it up. You know, I feel like some people like to keep them themselves. And, you know, be to themselves and try to fix them out of themselves. But it is really good to talk to other people. Like, I've talked to a few people to fix, like, their problems. They have, you know, relationship problems or just problems in general. And, you know, it's good to talk to, even if it's your friend, it's good, still good to talk to them about it.
So there's not as much of a stigma as there used to be. Anybody else?
No,
you agree? Or do you guys agree with him or disagree?
On that.
You do?
I agree. Because I have a group. There's a group of people that I like. I come in, I sit with every day, and like those are my friends. Like we'll talk about like what we're going through, and it's all, and then we figure out ways to like solve it together.
Well, I'll tell you what, filling this hour has not been an easy task, but I appreciate you, Morris Turner III, Micah Saunders, and Michael Polite. I appreciate you sharing your perspectives, the candidness with which you answered, and being a part of this month's Minority Health Matters. Thanks so much, gentlemen.
No problem.
Have a good one. And before I run out of time, I just want to mention something because we're talking a lot about Black health. And next weekend in Pittsburgh on the 8th of April at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center, the 2023 Pittsburgh Black Health and Equity Summit is taking place. It is a free event. Let me establish that. It is a free event. It will be happening. It starts at 11 a.m. next Saturday, so 1 week from today, the day before Easter. And there will be sessions on a lot of the things that we have touched on and talked about here today. There will be sessions on Black women's health. They're going to talk about maternal and infant mortality. Jada Sherrell from Healthy Start will be a part of that, as well as representatives from McGee Women's Hospital. There will be a panel led by Dr. Margaret Larson Pettigrew from Allegheny Health Network on Black health disparity, something that we talked about on here today. Dr. Tracy Conti, who is a family medicine practitioner with UPMC, who gets into the heart of the community to deal with some of these issues, will be there. There's a session on healthy lifestyles, the business perspective of medicine, all of this wrapped up into one day. It is the 2023 Pittsburgh Black Health and Equity Summit. It is free. You can Google it. You can go online. I do believe you need to make a reservation for it. You can do that at PGH Black Health Equity Summit. You know, they're always long names. Eventbrite.com. But the bottom line is they'll be talking about all of the things that we talked about here today. Again, I'm Lynn Hayes Freeland. This is Minority Health Matters. A very special thanks to our guest, the student from Journey to Medicine, and of course, Gateway Medical Society. And if you found what we were talking about was kind of interesting, we're going to do it again on the first Saturday of next month. In the meantime, I'm Lynn Hayes Freeland. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday.